You have seen him everywhere, but tonight you are seeing him live. Please put your hands together for Josh Johnson.
Sometimes I find myself falling down whole rabbit holes online of things, stories and stuff. And there's a case, there's a trial. It just ended. And I think it may qualify for trial of the century. I know that's premature to say. But I don't know. I think it's pretty incredible. The trial of Young Thug just ended. Now, if you don't know who Young Thug is, he's a rapper. It's not a dog whistle this time. All right. Young Thug is a rapper that was on trial in Fulton County in Georgia, right? Basically, the state's case, what they were alleging was that he took all of the money that he made from music and he funneled it through and to a gang called YSL, a gang that he was supposedly the leader of, right? And that's the state's case. And the judge in the case looked exhausted. I've never seen a judge act like this before. Every time the court camera cut to her, her head was in her hands. I'm not going to act like I know the law, okay? My understanding of the law sort of begins and ends with Law & Order SVU, all right? So I know you can sustain. And you can object. I've never heard a judge be like, you can't do that. She said it a lot. And now the prosecution in the case, the prosecutor had given out a lot of plea deals. Ton of plea deals. More plea deals than I thought you could give out. I didn't have a number in my head, but this felt like an egregious amount of plea deals. It just felt like she was going to the hood, like, you get a plea deal, you get a plea deal, you get a plea deal, you get a plea. She was basically giving a plea deal to everybody in Georgia but Young Thug, right? And she was giving these plea deals in return for their cooperation, their testimony that she would use to piece by piece paint the bigger picture that the state was alleging, that Young Thug's the leader of YSL, everything they do is by his direction, all his money goes through and to them, right? And the only problem is the prosecutor in this case gave plea deals to some of the least helpful people in human history, all right? I've never seen people less helpful than this. This was astoundingly unhelpful. I was helping my friend move one time. And he and I had to move a pool table, just us, downstairs. And our third friend was there at the bottom of the stairs just watching. And even he was more helpful than anyone that the prosecutor gave a plea deal to in this case. At least he could be like, watch your step, something. I'm going to tell you about some of the testimony. I'm going to need you to be patient with me because a lot of the dudes testified in this trial are going by their rapper name and they haven't made it yet. So I don't know. I don't know why it's spelled like that. I don't know how to pronounce it. Just, I'm going to say he for short, all right? There's one dude that was on the stand, right? And prosecutor asked him a very specific question, very specific reason. She goes, did Young Thug have an issue with Rich Homie Quan bringing his friend to the party, right? Now, Rich Homie Quan is also a rapper who has sadly passed away. But his friend, to the best of my knowledge, allegedly, is a gang member, right? This whole question is to paint Young Thug as a leader of a gang. That's why he would have a problem with a different gang member coming to his party, right? So the prosecutor asks, did Young Thug have an issue with Rich Homie Quan bringing his friend to the party? And then this guy on the stand goes, Thug, did you have an issue with Rich Homie Quan?
Yeah.
never in the history of court have I seen someone ask a question by the prosecution and then go, I'll just go to the source. And so then the prosecutor goes, no, I'm asking you. Did Young Thug have an issue with Rich Homie Quan bringing his friend to the party, all right? And this guy goes, I'm not Young Thug, so I don't know. Moments later. Prosecutors are asking question after question after question, all alleging the same thing, all to the same end, right? And this dude, he's not being combative. He's not even being rude. He's just not being helpful. And so then the prosecutor pulls up, I don't know if she put up it exactly, but basically references his plea deal where she goes, I have right here you answering questions definitively that I'm asking you right now. And then this guy on the stand goes, y'all wrote that. I just signed it. Never in the history of court, at least that I know of, and it's like, you know, the internet especially was of two minds because it was like people could not decide if these were like some of the dumbest people who had ever lived or legal masterminds. Because basically what this dude is saying in open court, right, is, look, you were about to give me how many years. I didn't want to do how many years. And you told me if I signed the paper, I wouldn't do how many years, right? So I signed the paper. But I'm not about to perjure myself. Yeah. Oh. This dude was supposed to be on the stand for 3 hours. 3 days later. The prosecution is asking question after question after question, all to the same end, right? And, you know, references again. Look, I understand that we typed it up, but what is in this is based off of what you said to the police. This is based off of testimony you gave during interrogation. And he was like, yeah, but if you gave it to me to type up, it would say something different than what you have right there, right now. Even the prosecutor was like, oh. Question after question after question after question. And finally, this dude, he doesn't snap exactly. He doesn't lose it, right? I think he just gets exhausted. And finally, he says, look, I'll tell you what I told the police. I'll say anything. Like... This is a witness for the prosecution. It's absolutely insane. The whole case is insane because you even look at the fact that the case had three different judges. Yeah, got passed off like a bad baton. First judge was Judge, I don't know how to pronounce his name. I think it's Glanville. Glanville, yeah. And this judge, he does seem to suck. Like, he does. But he also had to put up with some stuff, too, because there were jurors that were fully out of pocket during this case. Just a couple of examples. There was one juror that got picked. It already took nearly a year, by the way, to pick a jury. which is insane. And then after they pick the jury, there's one juror that during the trial has started, and I think they just went to the Dominican Republic. Deputies got sent to their house, were knocking on the door, everything, and then they got back, and they had to appear in court, and the judge was like, you have to be here to be on the jury. And they were like, every day? That sounds wildly inconvenient. Then, judge was ready to, you know, hold this jury in contempt and was basically giving them an out, because this judge in particular loved contempt. He had a lot of contempt. The entire trial full of contempt. And gave the juror a way out. He was like, look, I could send you to jail, I could fine you, but what I'm gonna have you do instead is write me a 30-page paper on the importance of being a juror. This dude sentenced her to APA style. He sentenced her to citing sources. You couldn't see his face in the moment, but even Thug was like, damn. That's cruel and unusual. I've never heard of that before. There was another juror that I don't even know what happened with this person, but I know that they got in trouble for... for live streaming the case. which is extra crazy because it was being live streamed. Like, if you had been watching at home, you would just see them sitting with the jury like, risk jail time for an extra angle. We are. Judge Glanville, oof. There was a lot of plea deals being given out the entire case, like I said before. And some of the things that were happening was, this is me guessing, but there were people that were not being super forthcoming, that they probably didn't necessarily have to be, but they were in some sort of trouble. And so the plea deal was just given just as an extra, it's okay, you can talk, we just need to get this guy, right? And even with that, there were still people that didn't quite want to testify. And then there were people that were being so difficult, state's witnesses who were being so difficult that the state just could not get anywhere. You know, and there was one person, star witness. Basically, the prosecution needed a through line. They needed something that would connect everything. And so they laid a lot of it on one person in particular. Okay. And they needed his testimony so bad that they pretty much gave him immunity on the stand. I didn't even know you could do that. It sounds made up. It sounds fake. I feel like he thought it was fake too, because he was like, immunity on, so if I say something on the stand, answering one of your questions, and it implicates Thug, but it also implicates me, I'm okay? Yeah, you're okay, you have immunity. Immunity on the stand, you're gonna be good. You sure? Yeah, you're gonna be good. Okay, I'm not even joking. He goes, okay. Ha ha ha! Okay, but what if it's federal? And I love that. I love a good haggle. I love, like, okay, I hear immunity, but can I get a federal? Can I get some federal? Federal, please. Can I get a little federal? Oh, it's beautiful. This dude gets all the stab, and you can tell he doesn't trust it. You can tell he's like, nah, they're up to something. Doesn't want to answer any questions. But we told you, you have immunity. All right. Basically compelling this man to testify, you know, dangling immunity in his face. Sits on the stand. First question from a prosecutor. How old are you? And he goes. Grown. And the prosecutor's like, what do you mean by grown? It's like, I'm an adult. Prosecutor is like, okay, seeing as you're an adult, how many years is that? And then he goes, looks over at the judge. I plead the fifth. Truly incredible work. Truly phenomenal, you know? They would be asking him lots of questions, you know? Question after question. And it was getting frustrating for the prosecution. It was getting frustrating for the judge. Because, look, maybe I'm doing my best to be as fair as possible. But when you watch a case like this, it does just seem like if you're a defendant, you're up against two parties. You're up against the prosecution and you're up against the judge, because everything in this case kept giving the prosecution chances, even when they would mess up. Because once again, they're not being given a lot with testimony, but there are things that they have in hard evidence. They're just not bringing them all together to make it cohesive, right? And then this star witness's testimony is not helping. So then, can't stress this enough, you cannot do this. Judge Glanville supposedly has a secret meeting with the witness and the prosecution, but not Young Thug's lawyers, right? It's something in Latin that I don't know how to pronounce, but you're not supposed to do it. I mean, and basically, in this meeting, this witness is then threatened with the dangled immunity and everything. Oh, we'll charge you for this. We'll hold you in contempt for 2 years. We'll put you in jail. All this stuff. Unless you start testifying, unless you start answering questions to the best of your ability. I don't want to hear any more of this pleading of the fifth. All that stuff, right? And so then they go back to court, and he's answering questions so well that the defense gets suspicious. Defense is like, what happened between now and lunch? All of a sudden, he remembers everything. He remembers what color everybody was wearing. And then it comes to the defense lawyer's attention that there was this secret meeting. And so he addresses it in court, in front of the judge, to the judge. He goes, Your Honor, I've heard some distressing news that there was a secret meeting with you, the prosecution, and the witness. My client and I were not privy to. I don't know what was discussed. You know, this person's acting different now. Like, what is this? And the judge, instead of denying it, instead of being like, that's a horrible accusation, that's not true at all, the judge goes, who told you that?
Ha ha ha!
And you can look at it. You can look at it because it was live streamed. You can look. Who told you that? And he's like, Your Honor, don't worry about who told me that. That's the least of my concern is who told me that. The meeting is my concern. He's like, no, I need to know. This is very distressed. I need to know who told you that. And he's like, Your Honor, it doesn't matter who told me that. Is that true? Like, did that happen? Who told you that? Who told you that? Who told you that? Who told you that? Over and over and over. And it's just wild that, like, in a RICO case involving supposed gang members, that the judge is like, who snitched? Nah, for real, who snitched, huh? Like, hey, I need you to come up out them names. Who snitched? Ain't nobody play with, look, I will bust everybody in here right now. Who snitched? And Doug's lawyer is like, no, look, I'm not going to tell you, all right? I'm not going to tell you how I came upon this knowledge. I'm just asking you if this happened. I'm asking you maybe even for a mistrial. Like, how could this happen? He goes, who told you? Who told you? I'm going to give you 5 minutes to tell me who told you. And Doug's lawyer is like, I don't need 5 minutes. I'm not going to tell you. That should be the least of your concern. Like, is this true? And he's like, I'm going to hold you in contempt if you don't tell me. I will put you in jail if you don't tell me. You will go to jail if you do not tell me. It's like, look, I'm not going to tell you. You can put me in jail, but the problem is the meeting. The problem isn't who told me, right? And so then the judge does it. He holds Thug's lawyer in contempt, which is pretty terrifying. You know? This judge is basically going over and over again. Who snitched? Who snitched? I can't stand a snitch. And, you know... And you couldn't see Thug's face in the moment, but he had to have been like, I know, right? And so then Glanville does it. He holds Thug's lawyer in contempt. And, you know, the Bar Association hears about it. And they show up to back Thug's lawyer up because that's terrifying. That's terrifying if a judge does something, doesn't even bother denying it, and then holds you in contempt for asking. That's a scary court system. You know what I mean? Because that's one of those things, if it can happen to anybody, it can happen to anybody. Like, I know that it's a case with involving hip-hop, involving, like, gang culture, whatever, but that particular thing, that could happen to anybody, I promise you. That's very scary, you know? And so the Bar Association shows up to back this dude up, and it looks like his case is going to be heard and probably the contempt is going to be thrown out. But basically, they tell Glanville, it's like, there's no way you're impartial. If you're trying this hard, there's no way you're willing to just let the facts play out. And so Glanville has to recuse himself from the case. And one of the things about recusing yourself, it doesn't undo damage. The case just goes on, you know? So there's still this, like, contempt hanging over Thug's lawyer's head and stuff. And then they move on to the next judge. And the next judge was the judge for a day. I'm not a judge, and I don't know how judges get cases and stuff. Apparently, this case was just given to her randomly and everything. And then she got the case, and she was immediately like, hey, y'all... I can't. And so many people are like, why? What's the problem? Don't worry about me. I can't right now. And so then the case goes to the third judge. You know, the judge just, ugh, that judge. The case goes to her, and she does her best. But it's very difficult. It's very difficult because there are things happening in the case that should just never happen. They actually had an officer come in who was, I guess you could almost call him a specialist in RICO cases through his police work, right? And even he made a mistake on the stand that had the defense asking for a mistrial, because basically the state handled the case so poorly, so messy, just so confusing, right? That the defense would be asking for a mistrial consistently. They were asking for a mistrial the way that you act when you got two cards left in Uno. Anybody do anything, you're like, oh. Defense would call for a mistrial nonstop. That's a mistrial right there. Your Honor, he just sneezed. That's a mistrial. He gonna get everybody sick. Because this witness on the stand, you know, his testimony, I'm pretty sure, had to be thrown out, because even though he's an expert in RICO and everything, it was two things were revealed that were pretty distressing. One, it's a RICO case, so they're trying to get everybody on everybody's crimes, but they never bothered to really look at the financial records of Thug, which is pretty insane if you're telling me that all the money he makes, he runs through and to a gang. And you didn't bother to check a Chase statement or anything? That's wild. And then, while this officer is giving testimony, he makes a mistake that obviously wouldn't be called out by the prosecution, but does not get called immediately. And then the defense hears it, and then they're like, this is crazy. We can't allow it. Basically, he references past convictions as part of a testimony to what this person would have done in this case. And you can't do that. You got to judge it by the merits of the evidence you have in front of you about what happened right now, right? And at one point, the judge loses it. She storms out. The judge goes, I can't take it anymore. She hadn't even been the judge the whole time, but she was like, this is insanity. And you couldn't see his face, but you could imagine Thug being like, I know, right? Like, no. And so she almost grants a mistrial. You know, there's a mistrial with prejudice and mistrial without prejudice. Mistrial with prejudice is basically don't even bring it up again. Mistrial without prejudice is like, okay, you didn't make the best case, or something happened, or a bunch of jurors went to the Dominican Republic. So like, we can try it again later.
And so, you know, the judge at one point has had it with the prosecution and is giving like a full on. You just so rarely hear people talk to like this on a live stream that aren't on a Zoom call at home. Like this, she was just like, she was looking at the prosecution and she was at her wit's end, and she was like, I don't know what to say to you. Like, I don't know, with the years of experience that you have, I don't know if you were willfully trying this case as badly as possible, or if you were just so unorganized that you can't seem to string a coherent thought together on how two things are related. We've heard testimony. There are people that don't show up. We're leaving at 4:25. Like, what is happening? And the whole time, prosecution is like, oh. You know, you ever just take your talking to, because you know, you're like, ah, yeah, it's pretty bad. Yeah, and like the prosecutor had the same nod that dudes have on the street when they getting yelled at on Valentine's Day. It's just like, just go ahead and nod. Accept that you've messed up. It was so bad. You know, and be thing after thing after thing, whether it was jurors, whether it was judges, you know, whether it was just wild testimony. There were people so uncooperative, right? Like, it was one point where they show this guy a picture, right? And it's a picture of him and Thug and two other people, apparently with the person. I don't know. I didn't see the picture, but apparently with the person who was murdered, right? because that's one of the charges. There's drug trafficking, there's like gun running, there's all this stuff, but there's also a murder, right? and when it comes to the murder, that's one of the big ones, because they're alleging that Thug paid for the getaway car, right? And so once again, not checking his financial records seems like an oversight. I'm not a lawyer. I'm just saying. And they show a picture, right, with all these people to someone on the stand. And they're like, do you recognize anyone in this picture? And he's like, I see me. Okay, fair enough. Even when it came to the Star Witness, there was one time where they simply asked this dude, when did you meet Young Thug? And he was like, before I went to jail. And just for the sake of clarity, the prosecutor tried to clarify which time before you went to jail. And he just goes, you're right. And I don't know how you handle this sort of thing, because this ended up being the longest trial in Georgia's history. Also, one of the most expensive, if not the most expensive. Because I guess plea deals cost a lot of money. And it gets so bad that every day defense is like, hey, mistrial's still an option. You want to hit it with a little mistrial? We can mistrial. But then, you know, the prosecution would do something that would kind of warrant a little bit of a mistrial. Like, there was even one point where they had someone on the stand read a caption from an Instagram post. And this caption had been poured over because basically through the hashtags, what a lot was being alleged. Because, you know, whenever there's letters, whenever there's numbers, it could have no meaning, or it could have double meaning, or it could mean exactly what the prosecution wants it to mean. It could mean what the defense wants it to mean. And so they were arguing about this one picture over and over again before they would let the person just read it out loud to the jury, right? Because then, I don't know if it's a gang, and I don't know if that was what the prosecution was alleging, but there was one point where the prosecutor was asking someone on the stand about a series of numbers, right? And a lot of people will sort of rep their area code. That's just a common thing throughout America, right? Exactly. That's one of those things. It's like, you don't even, it's so unifying. Everyone does it. Like, sometimes you just can't help it. Yeah. But this is my thing. The dude on the stand, prosecutor asked him, what's 374? And he was like, numbers. Maybe it's a gang, maybe it's not. I have no idea, right? But basically, there's this one picture that's being poured over and over again, and this was the straw that sort of broke everything, right? Because they made agreements, and they had even redacted the picture so that only what would be read was what the prosecution and defense agreed on based off of the evidence that they were both showing, right? But then when they actually gave the picture to the person on the stand, nothing was redacted. And the prosecutor had them read everything. And so then the defense is like, Your Honor. Your I've never heard a lawyer have to like go, Your Honor, kind of like, Mom, like. But this was it. Your Honor, we just went over the thing. Why would Shaw? And sure enough, Judge agreed. Judge was like, look, I gotta do something else with my life too. Like, it's just, it can't just be this. And the judge said an interesting thing, and like I said, I know a little bit about the law, most of it what not to do from this case. But the judge says something where she's like, I'm basically trying to salvage something here because I don't want an entire jury's 11 months to be wasted. I don't want, which to me is a little weird. Their time's already been wasted. Like, this is about seeing if someone did or didn't do something. You know? And so that statement was said, but then, you know, judge turns to the defense and goes, I'm not going to grant you a mistrial with prejudice, but would you like a mistrial without prejudice? And defense was like, yup. And then she was like, I'm inclined to give it to you because this whole thing, this right here, no. No. And so then, you know, they get to plea dealing a bunch of people day after day after day. And then they actually go to Thug and they're like, look, you're facing like 25, 40 years for all the things that we are alleging, right? But we'll give you probation, right? We'll give you probation if you just admit that you are the leader of YSL, a gang where you can take all the money and you funnel it through into the gang and everything they do is at your direction. Like, if you'll just say that, probation, you'll be good to go, right? And then Thug says, No, I'm not just gonna accept. You came to me to make your case for you. I mean, no. And that's a very, I don't know, that's a very, like, brave thing. Like, I don't even fully understand all of the conditions around the sentence that he actually got, but that was what he was initially presented with. And he said no. And then the state said, okay, we're going to make sure that you do 25 years. And that doesn't sit right with me. And it obviously didn't sit right with his defense attorney. His defense attorney brought it up when the judge was about to make a decision. Basically, he says, Your Honor, the state came to us and they said he could do probation if he signs this piece of paper or he could do 25 years if he doesn't. And I'm just kind of curious why the state would allow someone that they're so sure is a racketeering, drug peddling murderer to go free with probation if they're sure. Right? And that he'll do 25 years if he doesn't say what they're so sure of. And the judge was like, good point. That is very hard to argue against. You know? And then the judge granted Thug probation and, you know, went home. And there are some people that are like, man, you know, if he could have just stuck it out a little bit longer, seeing the trial to its end, there's no way he would have been convicted. The defense was ruining the state, like just at every turn. And it was mostly the state tripping over themselves, right? And I get it, though. That dude sat in jail without bond. Dude was in jail for 2 years. He was in jail for a year while they picked the jury. He was in jail the entire trial, you know? And every once in a while, don't get me wrong, every once in a while, Thug would also laugh. Because, like, he was facing a lot of time, but every once in a while, he'd also be like, how did we get here? This seems far be it for me to say, I'm just a rapper, but as far as the law goes, I don't know. I get it. I get somebody tells you, hey, you just do 3 more months, you'll go free forever. Maybe. That's scary, you know? And it's also scary that, like, that the state needed it this bad. That a lot of cases come down to reputation over justice. You couldn't just take the L. Right? It's like, no, you will die in prison for me to not look bad. That's terrifying, you know? And I know it feels like it can't happen. You know what I mean? Like, I don't rap, but I could see myself in a bad situation. You know? Because it just, it kind of begs the question, you know, did this person get away with a bunch of stuff? Or did the state just jam someone up for 2 years? Ladder. You know? Thanks. But that's my thing. It's like, I don't even know. And I'm obviously not Thug. You know, I hope that everybody can like move on in the most prosperous way possible. I really do. Everybody that testified, everybody. I wish the best for everyone, I really do. I just can't seem to think. There's a level of peace you have to attain that I don't know if I have. Because, if someone accused me of being this, like, drug-running, you know, murderer, this horrible person, like, this that did all these things, and they were willing to put me in jail forever with a bad case that they didn't have enough evidence for, and then they were just like, you can go if you just sign it. I think it would make me mad enough to kill someone. But that's just me. Me that.